is Christian Questions.
Not working. There you go. Samuel Johnson once said, "The chains of habit are too weak to be felt until they are too strong to be broken." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Kathy, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan.
And who is out of town today?
Again.
I know. We're going to have to talk to him. Although I don't mind having you on with us.
Well, I love being here.
Well, that's good. And folks, we are glad you've chosen to spend some time with us this morning. And Kathy is sitting in for Jonathan this week. And Kathy, what is our subject matter for this fine Sunday morning?
Oh, golly. It's Proverbs 17:20. And our topic is, do our bad habits control us? And our scripture is Proverbs 17:20. He who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language falls into evil.
So it's all about habits this morning. And folks, did you ever stop to think about how much of our lives are built around our habits? The words we use, the thoughts we think, driven by habit. Our morning routine, habit. The time we arrive at work, habit. Our actions and reactions to our coworkers, habit. What we eat, where we eat, how much we eat, all connected to habit. How we treat our spouse, our family, our friends and acquaintances, you guessed it, all connected to habit. So if such a large portion of our lives are based on habit, then we ought to understand what makes a habit and, most importantly, how to better our habits. So, Kathy, that's what your task is this morning, to embark on this conversation about what habits are, how they work, and how to find the best of our habits and get rid of the worst.
I'd rather talk about witches and zombies. And you know how I feel about witches and zombies, but you know, that's focusing on stuff that's yucky outside of yourself, and it's much harder to focus on the yuck inside yourself.
Now, see, folks, you got to understand, Kathy is a mom. She's from the local area here, and when you have your co-host talking about yucky stuff inside yourself or outside yourself, you know you're talking to a mom. So this is important. This is going to be, actually, I think, one of the great conversations of a Sunday morning, because the subject of habits, if we understand it, this can be, and you were telling me, this can be a life-changing experience.
I mean, I think we should change the name, not to Christian Questions, but to Free Christian Therapy. Because that's what it is.
FreeChristianTherapy.com. Not really, just kidding. It's ChristianQuestions.net. Anyway, let's get started with this. And folks, we're looking at the subject of habits. We'd love to hear from you on habits that maybe you've broken and replaced with other habits, and how you did it, and some of the input. We'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now. And our website is ChristianQuestions.net. So, Kathy, let's just get started. If you look it up in the dictionary, let's rattle off quickly a couple of definitions of what is a habit.
The prevailing disposition or character of a person's thoughts and feelings.
Okay, that's reasonable. What else?
A settled tendency or usual manner of behavior.
And that, to me, that really encompasses it. You know, it's that settled tendency. It's that go-to thing that you're always going back to do. And just one more.
A behavior pattern acquired by frequent repetition or physiologic exposure that shows itself in regularity or increased facility of performance.
And we're going to get into that in a number of different ways in just a couple of minutes here, because that's a lot of words for 7 o'clock in the morning. But let's go to ask the question, okay, what are habits and how do they work? Folks, you got to stay with us for this, because during the program this morning, we're going to be listening in to a 1954 McGraw-Hill movie on habit patterns. And these are a series of movies that were made back in the 40s and the 50s for young people growing up. sort of teaching them how to live their lives properly and productively. So this is a story about Barbara and Helen, two young ladies who are in high school and their neighbors. So this first part is about Barbara. And one of the things, Kathy, I think is fascinating is to listen to the tone of the narrator. Because she'd never get away with the way she talks today.
That's true.
So let's listen to this. Okay, let's let our tech guy work on that for
we
a moment.
We can act it out, Rick.
No, we can't.
Only if you're Barbara.
Anyway, we'll come back to that in a few minutes.
You're a creature.
Okay, let's just restart that there, Fred. There we go. Okay, here we go.
It's a little late for tears, isn't it, Barbara? Even though you didn't know it was going to happen today, you've still had your whole life to prepare for it. Of course, you've gotten into the habit of not being prepared. And now it's a little late, isn't it? You're a creature of habit, Barbara. We all are. Unfortunately, not all of your habits are good ones. This was how your day started. Started wrong. Your neighbor, Helen, is a creature of habit, too. But she got up when the alarm went off. Because, Barbara, that's what she really had in mind when she said it.
That's such a great line. She got up when her alarm went off because, you know what? That's why she said it.
I love that.
So Barbara, obviously, is just not getting out of bed when the alarm rings, and, you know, the story is going to unfold that way. Whereas her neighbor, Helen, when the alarm rings, she gets up because that's why. That's why the alarm is there. So that gets us started looking at habits. And, you know, again, the narrator's attitude is, well, Barbara, you started your day wrong. And you think about it, you can't tell a kid anything's wrong these days because that's not politically correct.
You're right.
And it's unfortunate because we're not giving them a chance to really wake up to learning a higher way by not telling them when something is wrong. You might want to try a different way. No, it's wrong. You know, wake up. Realize responsibility and move forward. We'll get to that. We'll unfold that. Okay, Romans 8, 5, and 6. Let's get started with that for a scripture in terms of looking at what are habits.
For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace.
So Romans 8, 5, and 6 is really telling us about habits. Because when we read from the dictionary, the definition, it said you set your mind.
Oh.
Okay, so if your mind is set on the flesh, you have these fleshly habits. But if your mind is set on the Spirit, it brings you life and peace. It's saying it's where you set your mind that your habitual actions will unfold from. So that's what a habit is. The habit is the setting of our mind on certain specific kinds of things. And that's important because it's not just, sometimes our mind can be set not consciously, but subconsciously.
Right.
And that's where a lot of our bad habits come from, is that subconscious setting of our mind. And again, folks, we're going to unfold that as we go. But again, if you have thoughts on how habits work, we'd love to hear from you. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
You know, just one other thing. We're talking about setting your mind. My son, Tim, you know Tim.
Yes.
He is in the Coast Guard.
Yes.
And they spend more of their time in training and drills than you can imagine. And he's always telling me about this. He said, because, Dad, he says, you have to create muscle memory so that when you're in a situation where things are you know, hectic. One of the things he does, he's in the law enforcement part. They go out and chase bad guys in the middle of the night in the middle of the ocean.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So you know, chasing drug runners and illegals.
Wow.
And all of that kind of thing. So when you're in the middle of that, you can't be thinking about what am I supposed to do and how am I supposed to do it. Your body has to naturally react. So you teach your body the habit. You teach it muscle memory by drilling things 1,000 times over and over and over again. So when the tension rises, you're not thinking, you're just doing.
It reminds me of that scripture about being faithful in little things so that when the big things come up, you can be faithful
right.
in those too. You practice, practice, practice
right.
so that you're ready.
Exactly. So the drill means nothing in and of itself because there's no catastrophe happening. But
right.
when the big thing does happen, that's when the drill comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Habits are not just mental, but they're physical as well. And we set our muscle memory, our mental muscle memory, and our physical muscle memory toward certain specific habits. So, and Kathy, most of us have tons and tons and tons of bad habits.
Yes.
You've got some pretty good stories coming up about that. Can't wait for those. But I want to go to another soundbite. This was from The Magnolia Show, which is a program designed for women in business. And the woman giving the lecture here is talking about habits, and she's just kind of listing off several kinds of bad habits. So just let's listen to what she's got to say.
Talking instead of listening. Forgetting someone's name 60 seconds or less after being introduced. That one hits home. Hitting the snooze alarm several times in the morning before getting out of bed when you know that you should, when you know that you should get up and do some stretching and some exercising, give yourself time to have a decent breakfast, to put yourself together professionally, and then leave in a great mood. Working long days with no exercise or breaks, not spending enough time with your family, your children, your friends.
All those are bad habits.
Oh, dear.
And as we go through bad habits, the good news is we're going to talk about how we can take those bad habits and put them where they belong and create the kinds of habits we really would like to have. So, and Kathy, want to touch on a scripture. We're not going to read the whole thing. We don't have time. But Philippians 3, 10 to 14, this is why you want Seeker Rewind, the full edition, because it's going to fully quote out the scriptures.
And this is one of my favorite scriptures. So you've got to go to Seeker Rewind and check it out.
And it's only available at ChristianQuestions.net. You want to sign up for the full edition to get all of that. It's a free service. Don't forget about the fact that it's a free service. There is no obligation. But as you read through the different verses of the scripture, Kathy, there's a process here in this scripture that talks about the development of habits and how it can be voluntary or involuntary. So let's start with Philippians 3, verse 10. And this is the first step of the process, and it's desire.
I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings.
See, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to. And if we have a real serious want to, that's desire. That's where a habit can start. Okay? Now, the next step is assessment. You've got to kind of look at the situation you're in. Skip down to verse 12.
Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me.
So the apostle is looking at his own life and says, you know what? I'm not there yet. He's assessing where he is. He has this desire, and he's saying, but I haven't arrived yet, so I've got to do something about it. So you have desire first, and then you have assessment. The third step, the third point here, is locking up the past habitual behavior, and we can see that in verse 13.
But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead.
Okay, so there's one thing I'm doing. What am I doing? I'm locking up what's behind. It's already happened. It's done. I can't change it, but I can put it in a lockbox. So I don't ever have to look at it again. Forgetting what's behind. So that's the next step in putting a habit in place. You lock up the past behavior. And then the last step is unlocking the new opportunity for new behavior. And that's in verse 14.
I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me.
So the idea is I've locked up what's behind, and now I'm pressing forward to what's coming. So you've got desire, assessment, locking up past behavior, and unlocking the new opportunity for new behavior. That scripture tells us all about habits and all about how habits work.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan here with Rick. Today we are talking about, do our bad habits control us? Coming up, can you believe I asked my family what are my worst habits?
Incoming.
Find out what they were brave enough to tell me. Next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Christian Questions. Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject today, do our bad habits control us? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now, and our website is ChristianQuestions.net.
All right. So, Kathy, one of the things I neglected to say in the first segment is there are in my mind, there are six ironclad rules about habits. And the first rule is habits are. They just exist. Face the fact, we are creatures of habit. Every one of us are creatures of habit, and habits just plain old exist. That's the first ironclad rule. Now, in establishing a habit, we just touched on, and I just want to rattle these things off again, the sort of a development of habit, the process was laid out for us in the scripture in Philippians. The first point was to have a desire. What was the second one?
Assessment.
So you figure out where you are with the desire. And the third one?
Locking up the past habitual behavior.
So you take what you used to do because you want to change it, and you say, okay, I'm locking that down. And the fourth one?
Unlocking the new opportunities of new behavior.
So that's the process. The scriptures told us that process in Philippians chapter 3. Now let's move forward here, and let's go back to the Magnolia Show, because, you know, what we like to do is list out the bad habits that we all have. So we all say, yeah, you know what, I've got some of those. Those are bad habits, need to be changed. What do I do about it? So let's listen.
Answering the telephone during family meal times. Controlling every decision, especially the small stuff that you need to let go of. Procrastinating on everything from filing taxes to cleaning out your garage.
Procrastinating. Do you ever procrastinate?
I don't usually.
That's good.
I like to get things done and over with to the best of my ability.
But you do have some bad habits or something that
I
your family...
I do have some bad habits.
And your family just volunteered information on them.
Well, not really. I was listening to the sound bites on Helen and Barbara, and I was thinking, you know, I'm like Helen. I get, you know, everything organized in my life. Certainly, I have no bad habits. I'm going to just make sure and ask my family. Well, that fantasy was over in about 10 seconds when they started listing bad habits.
Okay, and we're going to get to those in a little while. Okay, so hang on to those, but that's the context of Kathy's habit story. And she had the audacity to ask two teenagers if their mother had any bad habits. Come on, people. All right, so we'll get to that in a moment. But the second rule of habits, you know, first rule is habits are. The second rule of habits, and this is important, Kathy, is all habits have a reason to live.
And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, it says, you must understand this, that in the last days, distressing times will come.
Okay, so let's pause right there. In the last days, distressing times will come. So with the coming of distressing times, what is the average person's propensity? If things are getting tough and things are getting difficult, what do?
We want to find a comfort zone.
Right. And we're going to retreat to what we know and what we feel comfortable in.
What makes us feel good.
Right. For the moment. For that self-preservation, for that ego preservation. And that's our habitual behavior. So when things get difficult is when we really focus on just being something comfortable.
This is so much. It's so much to remember. It's so many steps. And where you can find it. All. So you can see it and think about it and discover your own habits and change them is CQ Rewind. If you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut 06320. And you can contact us at the web, ChristianQuestions.net. There are many archive programs on a variety of subjects. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net. Also, at our website, CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind has two parts. The first is a summary version. I like to use that when I'm on the website and I'm trying to do some research and I click on the archive programs and I'm not sure exactly what the program is all about. So then I click on the summary version and it gives you a really great synopsis. And you can find that on the website, ChristianQuestions.net. And you can also subscribe to CQ Rewind, the full edition, which is available by email, and it comes to you each week. When you get all that junk mail, and then you get Christian Questions Rewind, it's like a present. And it has comprehensive excerpts, a transcript, fully quoted scriptures, all presented in a reader-friendly format full of graphics and illustrations. Also available free of charge. Just sign up. Check them both out at ChristianQuestions.net.
All right, so you can rewind the full edition, sign up. It's free, and it's there for the taking. Let's get back to that 2 Timothy scripture, and because it said, in the last days, distressing times will come. And then it goes into people's habitual behaviors, and these are not good. These are bad habits here. Let's read verses 2 through 5.
For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, brutes, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the outward form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid them.
And that's what it says in 2 Timothy. And all of these behaviors are self-centered and self-gratification driven. Our habits are generally self-centered, especially the ones that we don't consciously put in place. But the ones that we subconsciously put in place, they're self-centered and they're self-gratification driven. They just are. Habits are, and habits all have a reason to live. Stress and distress are classic environments for the development of unhealthy and destructive habits. So when we get into times of stress in our lives, that's when unhealthy habits have the breeding ground to really grow and develop. And that's a dangerous place to be.
It is, but it makes sense. When you're hurting, when you're uncomfortable, you want to fix that, and the sooner the better, with whatever you can find.
And fixing it, though, isn't necessarily fixing it. It's just making yourself feel better in the moment.
It can just be like a Band-Aid over the top.
Right. So if you put a Band-Aid over an infection, you're not helping it any.
No, you're just covering it up, so
right.
You don't have to look at it.
Right, exactly. And oftentimes, our bad habits are just Band-Aids over an infection, so we don't have to look at them. It makes us feel good for that moment without thought of the consequences of later on. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now. And our website is ChristianQuestions.net. If you'd like to email us, you can do so at Rick, R-I-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net. Let's go to another soundbite, Kathy. This is, before we get back to Helen and Barbara, this is from WakeUpProductive.com. And it's talking about changing habits, and there's some very profound statements here about our quality of life and what drives the quality of life. Listen, this is good stuff.
All right, let's learn about how to create habits that serve us in our lives and in our businesses. I did an interview recently with Tony Robbins, and one of the things that he said in the interview, and I'm paraphrasing, is that the quality of our habits and our rituals is the quality of our lives. Okay, the quality of our habits and our rituals is the quality of our lives. Now, what did Tony mean by this? He meant that if we don't have high-quality habits and we don't make them into rituals, we don't focus on these things and create them consciously, that a bunch of other stuff will sneak into our life. We'll get distracted. Our minds will get taken off on things. We'll worry about stuff, and we'll never get the important things done.
Powerful, powerful statement. The quality of our habits and rituals is the quality of our lives. And folks, I have to apologize. The static on the sound bites, there's a lot of static. I didn't know it till after the fact. I had a browser problem. And the recordings are not as good as they could have been. I apologize for that. I didn't figure that out until the week was over.
Well, if you didn't get to hear them, you can check them out at CQ Rewind.
That's right. Julie quotes them all out for you so you can see exactly what was said. So the quality of our habits and our rituals determines the quality of our lives. And that's why habits are, and every habit has a reason to live. And even the low-quality, bad-quality habits have a reason, and they will inevitably contribute to what makes your life valuable or not valuable. So we got to figure out, okay, what's the basis of our thinking? Where do our habits begin? What are we choosing? And we are choosing. What are we choosing to base our thinking on? Whatever it is determines the source of our habits. Let's look at a great basis for thinking in Joshua 1, 8 to 9.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. I have not commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
So, Kathy, this is a great basis for thinking. It says, this book of the law will not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night.
It reminds me of Deuteronomy 11:20, where it says that you shall write my words on post-it notes throughout your house.
Does it say post-it notes throughout your house in Deuteronomy?
It does. Look it up. Well, look it up.
You got the point. You got the point. And the point is, that is creating a basis for our thinking. It's not enough, though, to have a basis for what you think. You have to have a basis for how you feel. See, if you're going to work on your habits, it's not only what you think, but it's how you feel.
That's harder to change.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Let's look at Proverbs 4, 23 to 26.
Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established.
So that scripture starts out, watch over your heart with all diligence. Watch over the seat of your emotions carefully, because where your heart finds its comfort is where your habits are going to begin to develop.
It kind of reminds me of the three P's from last week's program on thankfulness, and how the first one is pause.
Right.
And that seems like it would also apply to guarding your heart. If you're reacting emotionally, you want to take that minute and just pause.
And when you pause, you can collect yourself. And then you can choose. See, by pausing, you're setting yourself up to be able to make a choice rather than go with a habitual reaction. And that's a big, big thing. Let's quickly go, because I want to get to your story about your personal habits that your teenage sons told you all about. But I want to just go back to Helen and Barbara in this 1954 McGraw-Hill movie about habit patterns. And this portion of the soundbite is Helen's routine and how Helen has got her life down and she seems to be very organized. Let's listen.
Helen has trained herself to know what she's going to do, in what order, and where the things are to do it with. She really doesn't have to think about it. She already knows what clothes she's going to wear today. She starts by having a place for things and keeping them there. She uses taste in selecting her clothes, but more than that, she keeps them clean and mended. And she's able to match the right skirt with the right sweater.
Boy, you can tell it's 1954, huh?
I love Helen.
All right, so Kathy, what about these habits that you asked your two sons, your two teenage sons about, saying, what did you ask them?
I said, what are my worst habits? And my husband sat at the counter looking at his iPad. He just shook his head and kept his mouth shut.
Smart, smart man.
My 16-year-old, however, a little less experienced with women, was all too happy to tell me that, Mom, you're always cleaning and you throw our stuff away. And I thought, my first thought, honestly, I got to admit, was being very defensive and thinking to myself, well, if I didn't do that, do you know what our house would look like? It would be a pigsty. We would have stuff all over the place. Of course I have to throw your stuff away. But then I realized a few weeks ago when I took my diamond rings off to wash dishes and I couldn't find them anywhere, and my husband finally said, well, let's check the garbage, and voila, there they were.
Oh, geez.
That, yes, maybe I do have a problem. So I thought to myself, what can I do about this? And I emptied out a big drawer where the scene of the crime usually takes place, the kitchen area, and I have now created a garbage temptation drawer. Every time I'm tempted to throw something in the garbage, I will place it in the drawer and they will know where to find it.
Oh,
but that is only the beginning.
Oh,
my 13-year-old was a little more brave.
Wow, you mean that wasn't even brave? Okay, well, we're going to have to take the next habit in the next segment. But that's a brave thing that you did, to ask them, okay, what are my worst habits? Tell me, especially teenage boys toward their mom, they're going to tell their mom.
They did.
But see, it's important because we all have habits that we'd like to change. And, you know, in my own life, I've had experience of having to work on and develop habits by undoing other habits. And again, we'll get into that a little bit in the next segment. So, folks, we're looking at habits. And again, the first two rules of habits are, first is habits exist. They are. The second rule is all habits have a reason to live. We're going to get into the third rule coming up soon.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan here with Rick. Today we're talking about, do our bad habits control us? Coming up, have you ever heard of an 8-pound cookie? Is there a secret to breaking bad habits? Stay tuned.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject today, do our bad habits control us? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.net.
So we're looking at habits, Kathy, and we're going to have to get to the second half of your story in a few moments here. But for this segment, really want to focus on the question, well, how do we change our habits? How do we change them? And there are ways to do that. We're going to begin to open that up. But, folks, we're never going to be able to finish it in this segment. So if we're not on in your area, you want to catch the second hour, go to christianquestions.net, click on the Listen Live button, follow a couple of prompts, and you can stay with us for the conversation throughout that second hour. And we're really going to be taking apart habits and how they work. But, Kathy, remember, we're talking about the rules of habits. Habits are, all habits have a reason to live. And the third rule of habits is, if we don't decide what kind of habits to develop, it will be decided for us.
Ooh, that's scary.
And that's a powerful thought. If you don't decide what kind of habits you want to develop, it's going to be decided for you, because we are creatures of habit, and if you're not making a conscious decision, an unconscious decision will be made for you, and it might not be to your best benefit. Mm. That's just the way life is. Let's get to the 8-pound cookie. This is not really a soundbite about it. I would love an 8-pound cookie, especially if it was chocolate chip. this is actually from thepowerofhabit.com, and this is a guy talking about gaining 8 pounds because he was eating cookies, actually. But anyway, let's just listen to the beginning of his story that will develop through the second hour as well.
Imagine for a moment that you have a habit that you really want to change. Let's say, for instance, you go up to the cafeteria every afternoon and you eat a chocolate chip cookie. This habit has caused you to gain a little bit of weight. In fact, this habit has caused you to gain exactly 8 pounds, and your wife has started making some pointed comments. And when I say you, what I really mean is me, because this is a habit that I had that I just couldn't kick.
All right, so how does he kick the habit? Stay with us through the second hour, and he will reveal his story. Mahatma Gandhi said something very, very powerful in regard to the development of habits. Kathy, let's read through this quote.
Your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny.
And that is powerful stuff, because bottom line is habits contribute to destiny.
And it all starts with what you think about.
Right, right.
Which reminds me of the scripture in Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9, where the apostle tells us what we should be thinking about. And it's things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute.
If there's anything good, think about those things. That's a great, great scripture, Philippians 4, 8, and 9. So we've got that in place. And you know, Kathy, just a quick personal story about habits and learning how to develop a new habit. Several years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, my dad had heart surgery.
Yes.
And it was my intention on going to visit with my dad and my mom every morning after that, because, you know, it was a very serious thing. You know, he was 80 years old at the time, and we lived close by. We lived next door, actually. And I remember talking to you about it, actually, and saying, okay, and this is what I'd like to do. And then I thought about, okay, well, how am I going to do it? Because the problem is, I'm not a morning person. I know we're on from 7 to 9 on Sunday morning, but I am not a natural morning person. And in order to be able to go visit them, I needed to get myself up earlier than I normally would have. And getting up in the morning is, I just can't tell you how much I don't like it. But I don't. So how I change my getting up in the morning habit is 2 or 3 minutes at a time. I literally set my alarm, instead of at 7:15, for 7:12 for a couple of weeks, then for 7:08, then for 7:05. And I did this for months and months and months. and always reasoning, I can get up 3 minutes earlier. I can get up 3 minutes earlier. And after several months, I now get up at 5:40. And I do it every morning.
That's brilliant.
I don't like it, but I still do it because every time the alarm rings, I think, I have to get up.
And I think, you know, when you were talking about assessing and, you know, making a new plan of action, that really shows that if you make a plan of action, you don't give yourself time to decide, do I like to do this? Do I want to do this? You just do it.
Because you have a need to do it. I must. I must do this. So the best way to break a habit is to make a habit. That's the best way to do it. Break one and make one. There's a lot at stake to break, and in order to do that, we have to be honest with ourselves. Proverbs 12:19-22. Just read the first verse because we don't have time to go through the whole thing.
Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment.
See, truthfulness, being honest with ourselves, is the best way to begin a new habit process. And, you know, like with your kids,
it's not easy because my first inclination is to be defensive, to explain why I have this habit, because clearly I'm motivated by good reasons, so it's got to be a good habit. I need to defend this.
So what did your 13-year-old tell you?
Oh, this one's a harder one to admit, but he said to me, Mom, you spend too much money.
Oh, yeah. That's going to hurt tomorrow.
It does. It really does, because my whole life is wrapped up in being a good wife and a good mother and running the house, you know, in a great way. And I'm thinking, well, you just don't understand. You don't know how hard I try. You don't know all the bills are paid, everything, you have everything you want, and I keep everything running smoothly. You just don't understand. And so step one, defensiveness. Step two.
These are what not to do.
The first one lasted about an hour, and step two was pouting. And I decided, well, fine. I'm going to take my name off the checking book, and I'm going to turn over all the bills, and I'm not going to touch any money. And if I even want a cup of coffee, I'm going to ask permission. I won't touch any of the money ever again. And I even went so far as to send my husband a text stating this while he was at work. Unfortunately for me, my contacts, I have dad as my husband also, and I sent the text to my dad, who unfortunately died 5 months ago.
Oh, no.
And it would have gone to his wife. Luckily it was their home phone and they did not receive that text. But that was the wake-up call I needed to really, you know, get over being defensive, get over pouting, and look at myself and say, what changes can you really make? And be honest with yourself. You do spend too much money, and how are you going to fix it? So I said to my husband, starting January 1st, give me half the money you give me to run the household. And then I looked at the bills, and I went, well, maybe I need a little more than half, but I am going to do it.
All right. That's a great, great, great personal application of what we're talking about, okay? Changing a new habit from the mouth of a 13-year-old, you learn that. Isn't it great? All right, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website is christianquestions.net. Let's go to another soundbite, and then I want to get into, you know, we're talking about, okay, to break a habit, you make a habit, you have to be honest with yourself. Well, there's two other steps we want to touch on in this segment. But before we go to those two steps, let's go back to wakeupproductive.com. And remember, that's where the source where they were talking about the quality of our habits and our rituals is the quality of our lives. Let's listen to sort of an expansion on that thought pattern.
On the other hand, if we habitualize all of the important things, if we actually create conscious rituals around them, then all the other stuff will take care of itself. And in fact, the more high-quality habits and rituals you create, the more it kind of squeezes out all of that other stuff that distracts you from your life.
So habitualizing the good things. And that really brings us to our next point, is we have to seriously, to break a habit and to make a habit, we have to seriously choose our direction. And you don't make a choice just once. You make a choice over and over and over and over and over again. That's how a choice becomes a habit. It's not just saying, well, I'm just going to run the household on two-thirds of the money I was running it on. You're going to have to make that choice every single day.
And to really make it stick, I think I have to be happy about it. When you're free from a habit, when you let go of a habit, it's very freeing. So you need to embrace that new freedom and be excited. And, you know, I said to God, I can't do this. You know, I can't do this, but I believe that you can. And so I'm very excited to see the power of God working in my life.
So we're going to have to see how this unfolds. Come January, we're going to have to bring Kathy in for some special reports. Update from the Kathy region. Joshua 24:15, basically, won't read the whole scripture, says, choose this day who you will serve. So to break a habit, you make a habit. And you have to be honest with yourself, then you have to choose who you will serve. Choose what you will serve. That's part of the moving forward pattern here.
And I like how it's this day.
Right.
You can
right.
make that decision every morning.
Right. And when I get up in the morning, I tell myself, I must get up today.
Mm-hmm.
Not tomorrow, not every single day, because that would be too much for me. Because, boy, I could sleep in really easily. But it's today. I must get up
right.
now. I need to get up now. And I have to say those words to myself in order to be able to do that. Let's go to Barbara. Barbara and Helen in the 1954 McGraw-Hill movie. Last soundbite we heard was Helen's routine. Well, here's Barbara's non-routine, shall
mm-hmm.
we say? Let's listen.
You started your day with no plan at all. Looking for your hairbrush? Can't remember where you left it? You forgot other important things today. You meant to fix that collar, but you've gotten into the habit of putting things off. And, oh yes, the sweater you were looking for. You decided to cover the spots on your sweater with a scarf. You often do that. But you can't forget that the spots are there. If you had a habit plan for your mornings, you might get off to a decent start someday.
Boy, that's just tough. If you had a habit plan for your mornings, you might get off to a decent start someday. I mean, talk about sarcasm at its greatest. But it's a very pointed picture on what happens when we fall into the wrong kinds of behavior that just don't help us. We need to do something to change them. And you've got to start at the beginning. So, again, the best way to break a habit is to make a habit. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to choose your direction. And then, you know, choosing your direction, we were talking about, you got to decide. And deciding isn't just a one-time thing. That's the mistake people make with New Year's resolutions.
Right.
They say, this is what I'm going to do. And they think that they've made a decision. No, all you've done is made a statement.
Ooh,
you know,
yeah.
What deciding does is it identifies the habit being broken and focuses on its replacement. Deciding gives us permission to act. See, a decision is not an action. It just gives you, it opens the door to action. A great scripture on this as we wrap up this first hour is Romans 7, 21 to 25.
I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin.
So, the scripture, the Apostle Paul is talking about his circumstances and saying, look, I'm in a situation where the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Now, you wouldn't expect that from the Apostle Paul.
No.
I mean, here's this guy who's all about preaching the gospel. That's all he ever does.
Right.
Is work to support himself and preach the gospel. That's it. That's his entire life. And you're thinking, well, he must have it all in order. But he himself is saying, oh, look, I'm still stuck in this. And his bottom line is, oh, wretched man that I am. I have to decide and decide and decide every single day.
And I love the example of the courage of how he fights every single day. And that
right.
gives me motivation to do the same.
Because if he had to fight, then certainly we have to fight.
Absolutely.
And that's a great fight to have. So again, folks, the third rule of habits. If we don't decide what kind of habits to develop, it will be decided for us because you are a creature of habit. So we need to be active in the choosing of our habits. Folks, in the second hour, we're really going to be focusing on, there's three more rules of habits. We're going to be looking at practical applications of how to change our habits, how to undo what we do, and how to start something new and productive. at how to make our lives better focused on doing the most important things, which is serving God and Christ. For Kathy and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We will be back again after the news and all that. Again, if we're not on your in your area, go to christianquestions.net, click the Listen Live button, and stay with us for the conversation, and leave your comments on Facebook. We'll be back soon, but until then, do our bad habits control us? Think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Mark Twain once said, this is good, he said, nothing so needs reforming as other people's habits. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Kathy and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Kathy, you're here with us this morning. We're talking about habits. You're sitting in for Jonathan.
Yes, I am.
He is out of town again. And we get the privilege of your presence here. We've been having a conversation on the question is, do our bad habits control us? And what's our theme scripture?
Proverbs 17:20. He who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language falls into evil.
And as we went through the first hour talking about habits, we were looking at what makes habits work, and there are rules of habits. We're introducing one rule of habits each segment of the program. In the first three segments, the first rule of habits was habits are. They just exist. Okay? Second rule of habits, all habits have a reason to live. Every habit we have. Now, we have lots of bad habits, and we've been talking about some of our own bad habits. But we have lots of bad habits. They all have a reason to live, and usually that reason is some kind of momentary self-preservation or momentary ego protection.
Mm.
Okay, so that's where our bad habits, but there is a reason for them to live. The third rule of habits is if we don't decide what kind of habits to develop, it will be decided for us. You're going to develop habits. So you might as well participate in the exercise, because if you don't, you're going to find that your subconscious is going to develop habits. And generally, when your subconscious develops habits, not so good.
Not good.
Not so good. Not so good at all. So, folks, we're looking at the subject of habits, and how do we change our habits specifically is what we're focusing on now. So if you have a thought, we'd love to hear your input on changing habits or experiences with habits at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
Okay, so let's go to how do we change our habits. What the fourth rule of habits. What's the fourth rule?
Habits can be abandoned.
Okay, so you can actually abandon a habit.
This one is exciting to me.
And but this one, let's understand, is just a beginning.
Yes.
She says with a sigh, as she has confessed to us some of the habits that she's going to be changing as this year winds down and next year begins. So, as we look at that, the concept that habits can be abandoned, let's go back to wakeupproductive.com. Remember the 8-pound cookie?
Yes.
Well, it wasn't actually an 8-pound cookie, but the guy gained 8 pounds by eating a chocolate chip cookie. It must have been those big chocolate chip cookies.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know, not just a little
no.
one, but these big ones. He would eat one every day, and he gained 8 pounds, and he says, okay, this is a habit I have to break. What am I supposed to do? How do I change it? Well, here's his first step, if you will, at breaking that habit.
We are creatures of habit, but most of us never learn how to change our habits. And with the little bit of willpower we get, we don't usually focus it on changing our habits. And that's really the equation. That's the magic formula, is to take the willpower that we get and focus it on making a new habit. One of the things I learned from Tony Schwartz, the co-author of The Power of Full Engagement, is that it's important to only create one new habit at a time. That if we try to create more than one new habit, what happens is we get all stressed out and freaked out and we just fall into our old patterns and we never actually do it. So, one new habit at a time.
Okay, and that was actually a different soundbite set. I got the two confused. That's the guy who was talking about what Tony Robbins had said about the quality of our habits and rituals determines the quality of our life.
Yes.
So, and he gives a very important message here. Because, folks, look, I know if you look at your life, you're going to say, yeah, I got a lot of bad habits. If you're honest with yourself, yeah, I've got a lot of bad habits I need to change. And, you know, a lot of times you say, okay, I'm going to throw them all out and I start over, clean slate. Here I go. I'm ready to make my life work. And what you're doing is you're setting yourself up to fail because it's too much. It's too much to change all at once. His advice here from wakeupproductive.com is change one habit at a time because otherwise we short-circuit ourselves because it's too big a hill to climb. And so that's an important place to start. So how do we change our habits? Well, you got to break one and you got to make one. Okay, you can't just change a habit by breaking it. Habits can be abandoned, but you have to put something else in its place. There's a lot of change, and you need your Christian toolbox.
Yes.
All right. So let's look at the Christian toolbox, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Now that's a nasty, nasty, nasty list. And it's saying, now why would the apostle be talking about those nasty, nasty things to a bunch of Christians? You know, you're saying, well, come on, you know, you should be beyond that. Well, let's listen to verse 11.
And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of your God.
So, and such were some of you. So he's talking about this nastiness because, look, here's a revelation. We're all the same.
Wow.
And it's not good.
No, you know what? And that's the thing, just one more really amazing thing about God is I'm thinking about in the Psalms where King David was praying to the Lord to show him his secret faults because, yeah. You know, like I had to ask my kids, what are my bad habits? We can't see where we're going wrong often because we do, that makes us uncomfortable. So we cover that from ourselves even. So you pray to the Lord, show me my secret faults. And he generally reveals one at a time. Because like you were saying in the last soundbite, that's all we can fix.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting. Sometimes you pray to the Lord, okay, reveal my secret faults. And then, you know, the Lord isn't going to necessarily send you a telegram. He doesn't send you a text message, but he does send you your teenage sons.
Yes.
So yes. Through them, you can see some of your own bad habits. Kathy, let's quickly go to the phones. We have Julius on the line. Good morning, Julius. Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Good morning, Jonathan, isn't this his absence becoming a habit?
I'll have to ask him about that.
I hope not.
not that I mind Kathy. I think Kathy makes a great contribution, especially with her candor in sharing her habits, good or bad habits. Yeah. No, one of my pet peeves, one of the things that I try to share with others, accentuate the need for punctuality.
Okay.
I think so many folks, sometimes I'm guilty, but I think punctuality is a great habit. I'll tell you why. My reasoning is very briefly in this way. Punctuality, I think, it shows respect to the other people, a person, or whoever. And number two, I think it promotes order. Order is number one. And number three, whatever you want to call it, it's there's harmony. You know, there is no disappointment on anybody's part when we are punctual. God bless. Have a good day.
Thanks Julius. Interesting, because he picked on one little thing, and it's a pet peeve of his. You know, and actually, that's one of mine, too. I despise being late.
You know, and if you're always late, it might be something you never ever thought about. I remember about 13 years ago hearing Julius say this point, and it was life-changing for me because I was late and just didn't think about it. I had so many things I had to accomplish before I had to get somewhere. So, of course, you don't mind if I'm 5 minutes late, but really, that's incredibly selfish to make somebody else wait. for you.
So, Julius, thanks so much for bringing up something that obviously bothers a lot of us, that idea of punctuality. All right, so we're looking at how do we change our habits. And again, the first point is there's a lot to change. We need our Christian toolbox, and we need to realize what we were and what we want to become. With so much at stake, we're blessed to have tools of examples to follow. And that's one of the tools in the toolbox is examples to follow. It's a tremendous tool because it gives you a picture of what you're supposed to do. And in Philippians 4, 11 to 13, this is an example to follow. It's a tool for learning how to change your own habits.
Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance.
Okay, so the apostle is talking about the fact that he's learned to adjust to difficult times and to prosperous times. And whatever the circumstances around him, he sounds like he's saying, and I'm striving to be the same person. I'm content in whatever the external circumstances are.
That is a great example, and it gives me a lot of courage to be vulnerable in my own weaknesses and my own bad habits because, I searched high and low in the New Testament for a scripture where Jesus or the apostles or a disciple or anyone who was having a difficulty decided to just take the day off and go shopping. Could not find one example.
Surprise, surprise. And let's finish that scripture.
I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
And that's the key. The tool of example says that I've learned to adjust to all these things. I can do all things through Christ. He's the one who strengthens me. I don't strengthen me. And if my strength is coming from him, I'm so much better off. It's a conscious choice in terms of being able to change our habits as to where we get our strength from.
I'm putting that one in my toolbox.
All right.
In January, I am going to need to be strengthened.
Yes, you are. And another one to put in your toolbox. How do you change your habits? With so much at stake, we're blessed to have the tool of God's promises. James 1:12 is a good example of this.
Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
So you have this promise that says, if you persevere under trial, you are blessed.
I am going to put that on a post-it note throughout my house.
Just like the scripture says.
In Deuteronomy 11:20.
And folks, look, if you have a thought, we're talking about habits, we'd love to hear from you. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. Our website is christianquestions.net. And don't forget to go to Seeker Rewind, the full edition. Sign up at the website. It's a free service. All of this, there's a ton of stuff that we're not going to be able to get to. It's all on CQ Rewind, the full edition. If you sign up for it, it's a free service. There's no obligation. And Kathy, you're an avid user of Christian Questions, CQ Rewind.
I love it. And I'm thinking as you were talking, Julie does it all in different colors. So when I get this week's edition, I'm going to take it, I'm going to print it, and I'm going to cut it up each little blip, and I am going to glue those as reminders all over my house to really change who I am so that I can walk more closely in Jesus' footsteps.
All right, so the practical application of changing our habits right there, right in front of you at CQ Rewind at ChristianQuestions.net. Let's go to another soundbite. This is the 8-pound cookie. I started talking about this earlier, but he sets up three different steps in terms of changing the habit he had, this guy of eating this monster cookie every afternoon and gaining 8 pounds. So let's listen.
Every habit functions the same way. At first, there's a cue, some type of trigger that makes the behavior unfold automatically. Studies tell us that a cue can be a location, a time of day, a certain emotional state, other people, or just a pattern of behaviors that consistently triggers a certain routine. To figure out the cue for my craving, I spent a few days tracking exactly when the urge to eat a cookie hit. And what I noticed pretty soon was something interesting. The cookie craving always hit about between 3 o'clock and 3:30 in the afternoon. That was my cue. It was a certain time of day.
So, for him, the eating of the cookie was the time of day that was the cue.
And he assessed it.
Right.
Step one.
Right. But every habit does have a cue. It has something that makes it work. There's a couple of other scriptural tools that we won't be able to quote, but just want to mention to you. The scriptural tool of logic and reason, as in Romans 6, 17 and 18, or 17 through 19, and the scriptural tool of knowing where to go for strength in James 4, 7 and 8. Those will be on CQ Rewind, the full edition. We don't have time for them in this segment. But Kathy, our whole point is, we are talking about habits, and right now we've been talking about the fact that habits can be abandoned. There's so much more to come.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan here with Rick. Today we're talking about, do our bad habits control us? Coming up, find out what deep, dark secret David is hiding. You won't believe what we're talking about next. I know I don't.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject today, do our bad habits control us? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.net.
And Kathy, we've been talking about habits and how to break habits. And this segment, we're going to break into another area, which is difficult. We're going to start looking at some extreme habits. And like you said at the outro of the last segment, some of these are extreme. Just extreme. So before we get into that, though, let's begin by going back to our man with the chocolate chip cookie. Remember, he said, okay, I figured out what the cue was for my eating this cookie every afternoon that made me gain 8 pounds. And now he goes to the second step, and that's the routine of the habit. Let's listen.
The next part in the habit loop is the routine, the behavior itself. And for me, that was pretty easy to figure out. Every day between 3 and 3:30, I'd get this craving for a cookie, I'd get up out of my chair, I'd walk over to the elevator, I'd take the elevator up to the 14th floor, I'd get out, I'd buy a cookie, and then I would eat it while talking to my colleagues in the cafeteria.
Simple. He had a routine. He'd go all the way up to the 14th floor for this cookie. Must have been a good cookie. Of course, I would travel far and wide for a cookie, especially a chocolate chip cookie. I love chocolate chip cookies.
And so what do you do if it's really just the cookie you want?
Again, it's a choice. It's deciding that is the cookie worth the consequence of that particular cookie on that particular day. See, I could easily eat cookies for lunch, breakfast, and dinner. I could. I ask my wife. I could. And I have to play this mind game with myself to say, okay, you're allowed to have cookies, as many cookies as you want on Sunday afternoons. And so I limit myself to Sunday afternoons, and I look forward to Sunday afternoon so I can have cookies.
So on Monday, when you have a whole week ahead of you without cookies, what do you tell yourself?
I tell myself, here's what I can eat today. And I don't look at the whole week, I look at the day.
Oh.
So to me, breaking things into little pieces is what's important. And that brings us to our fifth rule of habits. No habit can remain. Remember, the fourth rule is habits can be abandoned.
Yes.
Okay? The fifth rule, no habit remains abandoned without a new habit having been put in its place. You can't keep a habit away from you unless something has been fully put in its place to occupy its space. Nature abhors a vacuum. The new habit has to fill the emptiness of the old one. If you don't fill it entirely, the old one's coming back.
Oh.
That's just the way we work.
Okay.
Ephesians 5, 18 to 20.
Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
See, now this is when you think about it, this is a powerful, powerful scripture. It's talking about not getting physically drunk. And you're saying, well, again, why are you going to tell a Christian that? Because they had problems.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true. We're humans.
Remember,
we're
talking about extreme habits here. And so the scripture is saying, instead of filling up with wine, be filled with God's Spirit. So it's replacing it. It's saying you've got a need that you're fulfilling with alcohol. Rather than do that, fill yourself with God's Spirit. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourself. So meaning, you know, there's that mutual accountability together in rising above the habit.
So you can call a friend.
Right. And, okay. and fellowship, real true fellowship, is a way to fill yourself and fill the void that you're trying to drown out with alcohol.
Oh, so you do it every time until it becomes a new habit.
And then you keep doing it every time because old habits can be abandoned. I didn't say they die. They can just be abandoned and they will come back.
Okay.
If you give them space. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now. And our website is christianquestions.net. Kathy, with this next scripture, let's paraphrase it instead of read it, because we want to get into the extreme habit. Not that I want to, but we need to get into extreme habits. This is Romans chapter 1, verses 20 to 25. And really what this is saying is talking about the fact that everyone has a sense of God, because if you look around you and you look at creation, you look at the order, you look at the integrity of creation and the sophistication, you got to think. I have a problem with scientists with this. You got to think there's intelligence behind it.
Right. I agree.
Because it's way too big for us. And, you know, we think we're so smart when we discover stuff. You know, and the fact is, when we discover stuff, we're just uncovering what was already there that God put there, you know, ages ago.
Right. Yes.
So in this Roman scripture, he's saying, you know, God allowed us creation to look at and say there is a higher intelligence. But what we have done as humans is we've replaced that higher intelligence with idolatry, worshiping the created rather than the creator. Not a good thing.
No.
Because we think we're so smart. And that what the scripture goes on to say is you exchange the truth of God for a lie and worshiping and serving the creature rather than the creator. And that is where extreme habits, bad habits, come into play. And we're going to play a soundbite from this guy's name is David, and it's called David's Dark Secret. CBN.com is where we got this from. And, you know, I debated as to whether we should talk about stuff like this, but judging by the kinds of letters we get on the website and the kinds of issues that people have, this was something I thought, you know what, this needs to be put on the table. It's disturbing in some ways, but it's real, and it's habitual behavior that's incredibly damaging. So let's listen to this.
David grew up going to church, so he knew pornography was wrong.
I tried to put on this, you know, that good Christian face and go to church and play the part. And part of me wanted to be so close to God. And then part of me just felt so guilty. And I knew if people found out, they would see me differently.
When he was 17, he met Valerie. They later married and started a family. He loved his wife, but pornography had warped his view of sex.
So here we have an individual who has a problem with pornography, and he became addicted to pornography. And we're bringing this up, folks, because the honest fact is that this is a real, real-life thing. The age of the Internet has made it very easy for evil and darkness to live in your house.
You know, and it makes perfect sense because we live in a very sinful world. We're all sinful beings. And many of us have these emotional black holes that we try to fill. And, you know, so we you know, that some of us are addicted to cigarettes, wine. And so you can see how in the privacy of somebody's own home that this poor man, you know, this is how he decided to fill his black hole.
And the problem with it is that, like it or not, this is a choice.
Yes.
It is a choice. And so when we get ourselves stuck into this kind of a circumstance, we are choosing to be stuck there. And how do you choose to be unstuck? That's the difficulty. And when you're looking at extreme habits that are a result of extreme actions, that are a result of extreme choices, well, you have to counteract that with something just as extreme to the other direction. Otherwise, you're gonna fail. And here, this guy, he gets married, but his head is screwed up because he has a view of sex that is just inappropriate with his wife. and it messes up his life. I mean, and but he can't. It's like he's stuck. It's like this incredibly huge magnet that keeps drawing him. Well, how do you deal with something like that? Folks, again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.net. Kathy, we have some short scriptures here that I think help to put this in perspective, because this is disturbing. You know, here's this guy, he's a church-going Christian, and you're saying, well, you know, if you go to church, you shouldn't be doing that. Duh, you shouldn't. But sometimes you do. So what do you do? How do you practically address evil, dark, bad habits like that and overcome them?
But it seems like there would also be a basis of fear in there for giving up a habit, too. Like, you think about people who smoke, and they, well, if I stop smoking, then I'm going to get fat. Or people that give up their wine or their drink, then they have to face their problems with a sober brain. So this man, you know, there's fear.
Yeah.
So you also have to, you know, replace that.
So there's dealing with the fear, there's dealing with the habit, there's dealing with the emotional black hole like you were talking about. So this is not something that you can just flick a little switch and everything's hunky-dory and, hey, we'll all sing Kumbaya and everybody's happy. That's not the way it works. This is work. This is effort. When our conscience is deadened, it's just a small step to dwell in evil and sin from there. Okay? Proverbs 17:20.
He who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he is perverted in his language, falls into evil.
And that's our theme scripture. And you think, boy, that's a nasty theme scripture for a program on habits. But that's the bottom line. Bad habits happen. We allow them. We don't necessarily choose them, but we allow them. And then we choose to allow them to develop and develop and develop. And now our choice has gone awry. When our conscience is deadened, it's a small step to allowing evil to live with you.
Wow. You know, and I'm thinking about my own bad habits that were revealed to me, and how, you know, looking at this scripture and thinking, well, wait, how does that apply? And, you know, I guess in a way I deadened my conscience to trust and faith in God, and instead took control for myself.
Right.
Because both of my things are making me in control.
Right. Remember, every habit has a reason to live.
Ooh.
Even if it's not a good reason. It's
okay.
That momentary self-preservation and preservation of ego. So with the darkness of evil habits comes the darkness of shame and secrecy. And that's what the guy was saying in the soundbite. If people knew about me, I know they'd see me different. You know, so if they knew the real me, so he, you know, then something else he had to cover up.
Right.
And then you have the humility of, okay, if I'm going to eventually admit this, then what are people going to think of me? You know, and it's hard.
Yes.
Proverbs 28:13.
He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion.
See, now that's the truth of the matter. He will find compassion if you confess and forsake your transgressions. But when you cover them up, it's going to eat you up. And that's part of the decision to overcome dark, evil habits, is realizing that we can find compassion when we forsake and confess those bad habits.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
This sounds to me like a promise of God, but who is David going to find compassion from? Is his wife going to be compassionate when he reveals this to her?
Well, actually, when you saw the whole story on YouTube, yes, she was, because she understood that he was eating himself up and that he desperately needed help, and he didn't come to her saying, oh, by the way, I got this problem, live with it. He came to her and said, help me, I'm dying here. I'm ruining you, and I'm ruining me. I'm doing it. So by truly admitting the depth of the problem, he did meet with compassion. Now, it may not have been an instant compassion, but by God's grace, it was a compassion that could help him walk through the process.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So, you know, that's part of the willingness to deal with such darkness in our lives. And again, folks, the reason we're bringing these things up, I know it may be a little bit uncomfortable for some of you to listen to, but the kinds of questions we get at the website, you know, folks, people are concerned about things like this, and their lives are out of balance, and they're saying, well, what do I do? How do I handle this? You know, should I be doing this and should I be doing that? It's real. It's real amongst you as you listen. It's real amongst us as Christians. And like it or not, we got to deal with it.
You know, it's funny because after I had this revelation this past week, and I was hurt. It's hurtful to hear you're doing a bad job at the one thing you're trying to do in your life, and confessing it and trying to make changes. And I noticed yesterday, probably the past 2 days, my husband has been nicer to me than he has been in years. And I'm like, why are you in such a good mood? And it was, you know, I look at this promise here to that you will find compassion, and I can't help but apply it in the situation. It's true.
It does. It is. It is true. And fortunately, the Almighty will see all and judge all. We're not going to read the scripture, but Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 tells us that. And again, we're faced with a choice. Break a habit, make a habit. Where are your tools? And you know, just a hard scripture to end this segment, James 4:4.
You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God.
So as we look at this, folks, we're looking at some dark, dark habits and saying, okay, what is that we have to do to change them? And it really takes work, effort, and humility.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan here with Rick. Today we're talking about, do our bad habits control us? Coming up, do you have an emotional black hole? Do you have an extreme addiction? Free Christian therapy next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject today, do our bad habits control us? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.net.
And Kathy, this is a really important discussion on habits. We're looking at some extreme habits right now, and it's a sensitive area, but they exist, and there's a lot of them because our world is screwed up, and evil is at your fingertips no matter where you go. And so the choice then to avoid evil has to become more conscious than it used to be 30, 40 years ago.
And I think there's a temptation to look at the extreme habits and think to yourself, well, I don't do that, so I'm not that bad.
Yeah, but
when you realize that we all have that sin inside of us, and my sin is sin to
right,
God.
Yes.
And we need to work to overcome it.
No matter what level we're at.
Right.
The sixth rule of habits, and after this, we're going to go to a soundbite, then we'll go to the phones. The sixth rule of habits, thoughtfully choosing new habits alters your destiny.
It's powerful.
It is. You can change your destiny by thoughtfully choosing, and I should add thoughtfully and prayerfully, choosing new habits changes your destiny. And you're right, that is an incredibly powerful thing. And folks, we all have that at our fingertips should we desire to make it work for us. Let's go back to the powerofhabit.com, the guy with the 8-pound chocolate chip cookie. I love chocolate chip cookies. But he talked about the cue. Remember the cue that got him going? The response, the what he did. And now third step is the reward. And by understanding the reward, he figured out how to break the habit. Let's listen.
The last part of the habit loop is the reward. And in some respects, the reward is the most important part, because that's why habits exist, so that we can get the rewards that we want. But figuring out a reward is kind of tricky. To figure out what reward was driving my habit, I did a little bit of an experiment. One day when the cookie urge struck, instead of going up to the cafeteria, I went outside and I took a walk around the block. Then the next day, I went up to the cafeteria, but instead of buying a cookie, I got a candy bar and then ate it at my desk. And then the day after that, I went up to the cafeteria again, but I didn't buy anything. Instead, I just talked to friends for about 10 minutes. And what I figured out pretty quickly was it had nothing to do with cookies. It had to do with socializing.
So he figured out what was really driving him. For him, it wasn't. For me, it would have been cookies.
Yeah. What are you doing? It's really cookies.
But for him, it was socializing. So he figured out how to socialize in a different environment. And he figured out, you know what? I don't need the cookie anymore. And he lost all that weight plus some that he had gained from eating his chocolate chip cookies every day.
Well, if you're talking to people and not eating, I guess you will lose weight.
That's so. Right. You're burning calories instead of collecting them. let's go to the phones, Kathy. We've got Randall from Connecticut online. Good morning, Randall. Welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you, too.
We have Mark 15:29. You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Jesus teaches the Christian to look forward to the resurrection, to the kingdom. The Christian does not dwell in the past. And what is a habit but the past dragged into the present? Psalm 51:8. Still you insist on sincerity of heart, and my inmost being teach me wisdom. The key to giving up bad habits is not to dwell on them, but to see our potential in Christ. With prayer, as we give up our bad habits, we expand. We choose Christ. Ezekiel 37:4-5. Dry bones, thus says the Lord God to these bones. See, I will bring spirit into you that you may come to life.
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
You
thanks,
too.
Thanks, Randall.
Great statement. The bad habits essentially are the past dragged into the present.
That's what I just wrote down. I love that.
It makes it easy to understand. And, you know, when we have a good habit, it is bringing the past into our present to continue to make our future brighter. A bad habit is dragging the past into the present that just keeps us in the past.
Yes.
That's the problem with a bad habit versus a good habit. So, what about spiritual habits? You know, we're looking at the extreme habits, and we're going to get back to David and his dark secret, the pornography that was literally destroying his life. And remember, early in the program, Kathy, we talked about four things: desire, assessment, locking up past habitual behavior, and unlocking new opportunities for new behavior. Let's put those four things into a scriptural perspective, because these are the answers of what kinds of habits to develop and how to develop them that can replace those dark, evil, bad habits. The first habit is desire, and the desire needs to be to centralize Jesus in your life. Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 3.
Even better than a chocolate chip cookie. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice.
So this is a great scripture because God is centralizing Jesus and is saying we should centralize Jesus, and then it's giving us this promise, a bruised reed he will not break, a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. It shows you the great compassion on the part of Jesus, that's where we can find compassion no matter how deep and dark and ugly those bad addictive habits are.
So when we come to him broken, he will give us the answers.
Right. He's going to bind us up. He's not going to break us in pieces and say, you fool.
Mm.
He's going to, with compassion, show us the way. Now, he's not going to take away the work that we have to put in to create a new habit, but he's going to compassionately show us how to do it.
I think the work is probably what makes the new habit stick.
Well, you're right, because you don't hang on to something you got for nothing.
Right.
So in order for that new habit to be a part of your life, it takes the work. And like we were talking about muscle memory in the first hour,
right.
You have to have that mental, spiritual muscle memory in order to be able to hold on to a new habit. Folks, if you have a thought, now would be the time, 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.net. And don't forget to go to Seek Crew Rewind, the full edition, and sign up. It's a free service. There is no obligation, and there's so much stuff here, Kathy, that we're skipping over in this discussion because it's such a big subject, and we'll probably have to revisit this soon just to sort of fill in the blanks.
Mm.
But Seek Crew Rewind, the full edition, gives you a lot of the blanks that we're missing here.
I can't wait to get my copy.
Yeah, it's going to be good. The second spiritual habit, the first one was desire. The second one is assessment, okay? Bring your bruised and broken life before him in all humility.
1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Now again, confession of a sin is not just simply saying, okay, I was wrong. Confession of a sin is living that confession. That's what it is. It's not just lip service. It is living differently or trying to, because we do fall and we got to get up again. And with that in mind, let's go back and see how this young man, David, actually got a grip on the habit, the dark, dark habit of pornography that ruined his life and that ruined his wife's life. What did he do? How did he get a grip on it to put it behind him?
I knew that I was hurting her, and I knew I was offending God. And yet, I just didn't know what to do. But yet there was something inside of me that just, that craved it. I never had an affair, but, you know, honestly, I was cheating. And I was cheating.
When they joined a local church, David wanted to get involved.
I remember telling Valerie one day, I think I'm supposed to be a minister. She, of course, thought I was crazy. but just those old feelings of that call. And so we started being more active in our church.
But David says one day God convicted him about his sin.
There was a stench, there was a smell that I hadn't smelled before. And I was just like, what's going on? This is strange. And God spoke to my heart and he said, David, this is what this stuff smells like to me. This is a stench to my nose. It's disgusting.
So he framed the darkness of his habit by having God in his heart saying, this is a stench to me. What you do is disgusting.
Oh, that just gives me the goosebumps in a really bad way to hear those words from God.
And that's what helped him to put it in perspective, because now his habit of dealing with the pornography had to deal with, if I'm going to do this again, I am creating a stench in the nostrils of God Almighty. Mm-hmm. Am I willing to do that? So the price to pay for the habit became bigger than the habit itself. And that's how he worked his way through it. Now, I will submit to you, and you know, I don't know what David is doing now, but I will submit to you folks that if David, for one moment, decides to unlock that old bad habit and say, well, you know what, I'm over it now, I could just revisit it for a second, he's going to get sucked right back in. It's not gone like gone forever. It's gone because he chooses it for it to be gone. But if he decides to allow it to rear its ugly head, he's going to get sucked in.
You know, it reminds me of Peter when he boldly said to Jesus, I will never desert you, I'll never forsake you. And within his own flesh, he was not strong enough to keep those words.
Right, right.
And so you have to turn it over to God. And like Joshua, this day I will serve you.
Right. And it actually brings us to our third spiritual habit. Lock up the past habitual behavior. Okay, locking it up means presenting yourself as his child. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Kathy, we don't have time to read it, but what is it talking about?
To present your body as a holy sacrifice to God and to live a consecrated life as unto him.
So you're replacing what you wanted with what God wants in everything that you do. That's how you lock up past behavior. And
so you're dead in your own will.
Right. And that brings us to the fourth step. Unlock the new opportunities for new behavior, replacing the old with promise, with new promise and new hope. And that's 1 Corinthians 10:13. And this is a terrific, terrific promise that any Christian who has got stuck in darkness of bad, evil habits can look at and say, if I have enough faith and I'm willing to do the work, I can overcome it through the application of this particular scripture.
No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it.
All right, so now here's the thing. God provides a way of escape, but we have to recognize the way that he provides.
Ooh.
Well, it's that old story about, and this is kind of apropos when you think about Hurricane Sandy, that the guy, the area is being flooded, and, you know, he's a faithful Christian. And so, you know, the water's up to his front steps, and a big 4x4 truck comes by and says, come on, we'll take you out of here. He says, no, 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 God will deliver me. You know, and the water gets higher and a rowboat comes by and you know, he says, no, 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 God will take care of me. You know, then a helicopter comes when he's on his roof and he says, no, 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 don't worry, God's got this. And he drowns. And afterwards, at the end, he says, God, why didn't you deliver me? And God says, I sent you the truck, I sent you the boat, I sent you the helicopter, what else do you want from me? We need to recognize that our deliverance can come through ways that may not be big and dramatic, but that are effective. And to be delivered from the darkness of evil habits is a very important part of our lives. Kathy, just a quick thought to wrap up. It's a big conversation. Your thoughts?
We have to really look and pray and know that today God wants us to change and be better than who we are today. Look to Him for the answers, look to Him for the solutions, and implement them, and then through lots of prayer and hard work, you can be better than you are right this moment.
So it's a habit that we must develop to change our bad habits. And to do that, there are several ways we can do it scripturally. And folks, if you get Secret Rewind, the full edition, I'm telling you, you can get those things. It's in writing. It's easy to understand. We have to have the desire. We have to be willing to assess where we are. We have to be willing to lock up the past habitual behaviors that we've had so we can unlock new opportunities for new behavior. We are creatures of habit. Like it or not, you operate based on your habits. Have your habits be based in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. For Kathy and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We've really enjoyed being with you this morning. We'll be back again next week with another subject. But until then, do our bad habits control us? Folks, you have a choice. So between this week and next week, think about it.